Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, amputate the grandma.
Don't put that in your mouth.
A Saturday night at Frogger's house.
Lies and the lying liars who lie.
Nobody pays me to talk to my wife.
Pinball Wizard's garage sale.
Pants on fire indicator.
Keep your leg. Make a lamp out of it.
Aggressive microtransactions.
The curse of Karen and Brandon.
I hate it when songs get stuck in my head.
In your head. Zombie!
Don't finger the vinyl.
The centipede that led to my wife.
Leave the gun. Take the canoleg.
Reading is fundamental with Amy and Moore on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Who taught you how to handle vinyl? You don't just grab the vinyl. You grab it by the edge. You don't want your fingerprints on the vinyl because it'll ruin the sound of the record.
That's not a joke. That's how I say it.
The Morning Stream. My philosophy, $100 shine on a $3 pair of shoes.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for Thursday, January 19th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. How you doing?
Good.
Here is how you hold vinyl. You have to hold it by the edges.
Yeah.
You don't put your fingers right on it. You have to hold it by the edges.
What is that? Is that Dark Side of the Moon?
No, it looks like it. Because for a while, MCA Records was putting that rainbow thing on all of their albums.
Oh.
I do have Dark Side of the Moon right there. But no, this is The Sting, the soundtrack to The Sting, which is the album that's sitting on top of here. Something else you don't do, which apparently I did when the last time I listened to this,
yeah,
which was quite a while ago,
yeah,
was I put the sleeve inside the jacket,
yeah,
with the opening facing out, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to.
Is that a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a thing, yeah. It's like, you know, people are like, oh, I just want that album out quick. No. You have to put the album, you put the sleeve in the jacket. This is where I turn into Daniel Stern from Diner,
yeah,
basically. This is exactly where I am. Yeah. But yeah, you put the sleeve with the opening at the top,
yeah,
into the jacket, preferably with side A facing up. But
Okay. I didn't realize there was an effort to do that as well. You don't want it upside down.
You absolutely don't want it upside down. But you want, basically, you hold the record with the front facing you and the opening to the right. You pull it open. The last thing you want is the record to fall down. So you have the opening of the sleeve up at the top.
Yeah.
And preferably, you put the side A facing you. So
all right. I hope all you kids are listening.
All you millennials with your brand new record players you got for Christmas,
yeah,
your Crosley suitcase record player and your copy of the Arctic Monkeys.
That's right. That's right. Look, they got to hear it somewhere. They may as well get the hard truth here on the show. It's
exactly,
fine.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's all good with me. All right. Well, you're this guy now.
Who taught you how to handle vinyl?
You're that guy.
Fine. You know what's kind of fine with that?
He has really good sound on his complaint, though, I thought.
It really did. Really clear, but he's very close to the microphone. Yeah. You can pick up every bit of saliva in his statements.
See, that's where you get me.
I wonder, this might be a thing to trace back with Wendy. Were your parents super, super freaked out about you putting anything in your mouth that wasn't food? Like, don't put that penny in your mouth or don't drink from the hose.
Right. A lot of parents, I think, were like that.
Yeah, but I mean, if yours scared you to the point of where the merest thought of a germ or anything in your mouth would kill you.
Yeah.
If they ever put that fear into you, that would explain the whole, like, what grows Scott out the most and teeth and stuff like that.
I don't
that.
Know why I notice that stuff. There. You may be right. I'm trying to think back. I don't have any specific examples of them doing that.
Like your parents put some mouth foo in
Maybe
you.
There's some foo. Yeah, they said, don't put food in your mouth. Put foo in your mouth, they said.
That's right, exactly. Even licking your fingers, like, chicken wings.
Hate it. People licking their fingers,
But gross. How else are you going to get all of that great buffalo wing sauce off of them, Scott?
I don't know.
A napkin and let it just go to waste?
Yes, let it go to the landfill, I say. Yuck. Yeah, I don't know where that comes from. Now that you've asked, I kind of want to know.
Yeah.
Let's get to a show today. We have a slightly shorter show today. Brian's got a doctor's appointment that kind of cut into time, so we're gonna rip through things and still have most of it. Wendy won't be here this week. She'll be here next week.
Cool Mo D said, go see the doctor.
That's right. Cool Mo D was right, it turned out.
He was right, yes. He said, go have that checked out.
I had my doubts about the guy, but... you know, now enough time has passed that I feel like we proved him out. He was on the level the whole time.
You know what? That song, in a weird way, led to me meeting Tina, now that I think about it. So there was this club. I'll do this really, really quick.
No, I can't wait to hear this. This is a wild story. I would have never guessed.
No, all right. So it's this song by Kool Moe Dee called Go See the Doctor. And it's like the core, the backing stuff goes, Skeezer, do-do-do, Skeezer, do-do-do, Skeezer, do-do. And there was this club across the street from my high school, opened up in a strip mall. But it was an all-ages club.
Sure.
And back in high school, that was a really cool thing. Went there, and for whatever reason, they started playing. Well, I mean, I guess it was what they wanted to play. They played that song, and I started talking to this girl near me about it, and her name was Beth. And we were kind of laughing about that, and then they started playing a slow song, and so, oh, Beth, do you want to dance? And she's like, yeah, okay, cool. So Beth and I went out on the dance floor and danced to that. And decided, hey, let's, you know, like to take you out sometime, as the kids say these days, or those days. And Beth became my girlfriend for a while. She introduced me to Rochelle. And then Rochelle introduced me to her friend Shannon. And Shannon introduced me to Tina.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that. Were these all your girlfriends in a row?
It was like a game of Frogger, like a bunch of lily pads all in a row that led me to that one spot at the very end of Frogger that's already got Mrs. Frogger in there that you land on.
I always forget Mrs. Frogger's even in there. I always forget that.
Yeah.
She's there, though.
Yeah.
Tina's Mrs. Frogger in this case. But hold on. Did you date all these girls in a row, or was it that they just recommended the other few?
I dated Beth. I did not date Rochelle. We gave it a shot. Like, we said, you know, we hang out enough. Like, you know, should we maybe try going out on a date? We even kissed and stuff, but it just totally didn't work.
Yeah.
And then I dated Shannon. Then Shannon introduced me to Tina. And then when I started dating Tina, Shannon got really pissed, even though we had broken up for months.
Oh, she was mad?
She was mad. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she tried to slam, very long story short, she tried to slam my legs in a car door. I was standing outside or sitting in the car with my legs turned, facing, actually, I guess I was, my body was turned. My legs were on the street.
Yeah.
The door was slightly ajar, but I was turned and I was talking to Tina, and Shannon came and launched herself at the door to try and slam my legs in the door.
That's freaking terrible.
And Tina like said, oh, Brian, and maybe turned my head. And I saw her just as she was getting to the door at a full run and like pushed back on the door.
Dang, dude.
From doing that.
That's hardcore.
Hell hath no fury like a Shannon scorn.
No kidding. That could have really hurt, you know?
Yes.
Like, that could have been real damage. That's pretty hardcore, man.
Yeah, she was easily the, you know, on the scale of zero to crazy town, she was way up there,
she
like
was up
an
on
eight
there.
Or nine. Yeah.
It's like that girl that stabbed the bear and put ketchup on it, like blood.
Yes, right, yeah. Exactly. Yes.
I had one of those.
They could have been sisters. Long lost sisters.
Oh, my Lord. Shannon and Paula. Don't put those two together. The whole world
is.
No.
Anyway.
Well, that's awesome.
I was not expecting to talk about that, but hey, we all have our therapy Thursdays. We do it all weekend.
Yeah, it's Thursday. And Wendy's not here, so we deal with it how we have to. Hey, we got a text I want to read. This is from a listener who called us in, or texted us in at 801-471-0462. iMacHead in particular is the name. Mm-hmm. Says, a funeral home employee here. Related to your discussion of wanting parts back after medical procedures, I always say, it's your body, you should get it.
So, yeah, you should get to keep the old chip when they put a new chip in.
Right. If they go like let's say worst case, this I hope this doesn't happen, but worst case scenario, your doctor sends you to a specialist and he says, we got to take your lumbar at one of your things.
You're gonna
out.
Take one of your
your L5 or whatever. We got to take it out and we got to replace it with some titanium thing.
Ooh, I like that already.
You should get to keep the old one.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's my thing.
You do a coaster.
Absolutely. I feel this way about teeth, about appendicitis. You want to keep that appendix? You should get to keep your uterus. And that's where this came up. We were talking about it with Amy.
Oh, right. Yes, with Amy's uterus, yes.
So he says, this iMacHead says, years ago, I blew off a part of his hand with fireworks.
Nope. No, he did not.
Oh, wait. Years ago, a guy blew off.
There we go.
Blew off a guy. Damn it. Years ago, a guy blew off part of his hand with fireworks. That part's correct. The hospital ended up releasing the unsalvageable bits of his hand, but only to a funeral home. Whatever was left, I couldn't see much, was stored in a small bucket of formaldehyde, I assume. That's what formalin is?
Formalin, I think, is it might be a brand name of formaldehyde or just a
But it's a preservative, right? Like it preserves the flesh.
Same, right, exactly.
Okay, yep. So that's weird. Why would a hospital send the remains of an undead person?
Yeah, I would think that's like considered medical waste, you know, like...
What do you do with that? You burn it.
Ended up releasing the unsalvageable bits.
He could follow up and tell us, but maybe they have a deal with the city where they burn. they're the ones that dispose of it through the crematorium stuff or something. I don't know.
That's really weird.
That's really weird.
I wonder. So, his fingers, right? Oh, yeah. We can't sew this part back onto his hand. What else would a hospital send to a funeral home instead of just destroying there at the hospital as like I said, medical waste?
No kidding. Like, let's say it's half your hand and you're missing a big chunk of the meat here, and that meat is no longer usable. What do you do with that meat? Why would you send that?
Or if they amputate somebody's leg.
Oh, right. Good. Right? That's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah. Do they... All right. There's a question. There's a follow-up question then, but let's finish this thought. They amputate a leg. Do they burn the leg in their own furnace or whatever they have, a medical waste thing, or do they have to send that to a funeral home? And follow-up question, if you had your leg amputated, would you want to keep your leg?
Oh, my gosh, dude. Yes, but I'd want to put it in, like, Lucite, like a... You know what I mean? Like some
mylar,
kind of
acid-free mylar.
Yeah, so it'd be see-through, like when they put bugs and stuff or, you know, other animals in there. Yeah. I want like that, so it's a big old triangular or a rectangular block that's see-through and transparent of my leg. I would do that.
Yeah, would you really? Okay.
Hell yeah, I would do that. I mean, I don't want to freak people out.
I have the room here for a leg.
Yeah, you'd have to get rid of something.
We were talking about this new mini pinball machine that looks really, really cool. It's the Legends.
What is it?
Pinball Micro.
Legends Pinball Micro. I want to see
it. So you know my video pinball here, this Marvel, the one from Arcade 1-Up.
Right, right, right.
That's like half or three-quarter size of a regular pinball machine. This one is like tabletop size, but kind of just the right size.
Oh, look at this. This looks great.
Yeah, and it's $500.
$500. That's a lot. It's a pretty... That tells me it's made well, so that's good, but... Okay, let's see. Now I can see the size of it. Oh, yeah, this looks like...
This is where you play your retro, right? Like 50 built-in games, all the Taito stuff.
Yeah. Do you play the... Anyway. What's that new... Who makes those new pinball digital games? Zen pinball stuff?
Yeah, maybe pinball. You might be able to load the Zen ones on there.
Yeah.
I can load the Zen ones on here.
Can I load Pokemon pinball, though? That's my favorite pinball machine.
Oh, gosh. I love Pokemon pinball.
Pokemon pinball is amazing.
It would have been, that's kind of a cool idea. Like, turn that Game Boy DS or Game Boy Color game into a pinball, like a realistic looking pinball game, and but keep all of the exact layout of the table, the bumpers, all that stuff, because that was
I would love it. Yeah, the GBA game in particular is my favorite. I love that one. I could play that right now and have a good time. And I'm not really a Pokemon person, as you know, and for whatever reason, Pokemon Pinball scratches that itch.
Yeah,
for me, not sure why. Anyway, if you get that, I'll be jealous. If
I won't, because somebody in the Nomic, I think it was, in the chat room said, "That's cool, Brian. Where would you put it?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, I don't ever think about that question."
We talked about this a little off air, I think, but I have got to de-junk some. I just have to
pare down. Yeah, I think we talked about after Film Sack, and that's
I have so much stuff I don't need.
If you follow me on eBay, you're going to see a lot of stuff, a lot of collectibles and garbage and stuff.
Yeah,
well, no garbage.
I'm going to give away what I can. eBay what makes sense. Yeah. Garage sale some of it this summer. I just
I got to place the stuff that I don't. That's too. I'm too lazy to put in a box and ship to someone.
Yeah, I just want to simplify. Just too much shit, you know. And then I'll compile more, and then I'll get rid of that. That's just the pattern. But right now, it feels like we're at a crescendo. I don't know if it's because of the pandemic or something. I just pack ratted or something.
Yeah,
I got a lot of stuff I don't need, but I'm not getting rid of these Golden Girl figurines, Nicole. These are great.
No.
These are staying forever. Whee! I should just keep her there. Keep her there the whole show. Which one is it? Oh, it's even Betty White. Just keep Betty White in front of me. Isn't that cute? Actually, it changes the way the mic sounds. All right, put that over there. All right, we also got one more text from a listener who did not leave their name. Says this, my 10-year-old asked me a fun question that I thought might be fun content for TMS. Would you rather get $200 every time someone lies to you or $200 every time somebody tells you the truth? 100,000% I'm going with the every time somebody lies to me.
Because
people lie way more than they tell the truth. Way more.
I mean, we're talking like little white, like every kind of lie from the big whoppers to the little white, like, oh yeah, no, those pants don't make you look fat at all.
Yeah, that's exactly. What, all of it. Yes. I think you have to, if you count it that way, we are rich men with lies. Rich.
For sure. I think so too. Yeah.
But if you do it with the truth thing, you're going to make a little money.
You'll make a little money, you know, like you'll make money every time you talk to your wife, but anytime outside of that, you'll make a little money on the lies thing when you talk to your wife too.
I had this is forever ago, but a long time ago had a dream that if the way to disrupt the world entirely and have it reset would be for a technology to come along that suddenly in a blanketed way across the entire planet, all 8-9 billion of us, whatever we are now, would immediately be able to read everybody's thoughts all at the same time.
Sure.
It would destroy everything.
Everybody gets telepathy.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter who you are, what you are. It's a bit like that Ricky Gervais movie where he,
There was some movie about where they invented lying. I can't remember the name of it.
I can never remember the name of the damn thing. It's that, though, right? The invention
Wasn't
of lying?
There an,
is that
a,
it?
A movie about the invention of lying?
Whatever that was. But like if you did that suddenly, like right now out of the blue, man, it would F things up. Just things up. Because you would find out how many people are just like lying to you all the time. And it would be a lot. And I don't mean just people you know personally. Yes. It would be the mechanic up the street, the guy who sold you those pants, the the heads of massive corporations, everybody from top down in the middle. It'd be bad.
I'm going to say this, right? I'm going to proclaim this right now, Scott. January 19th, 9:26 a.m. Mountain Time.
Yeah.
That once we get our Google Glass or whatever Apple's working on, or whatever whatever AR system ends up being the dominant AR glasses.
Yeah.
That someone is going to develop an app that uses facial recognition, typical nervous tics, sound, wavering voice and sound. That's going to give you. Is going to be an app that is going to sit in the bottom right corner of your Google Glass screen, your HUD, and it's going to say, 75% probability that what they just said is a lie.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I not only think you're right, I think that tech already exists in other use cases. It's just a matter now of making it to the consumer grade stuff because, you know, people use it all the time for like surveillance camera and facial recognition.
Exactly. Yes. Micro expressions. That's the word I was looking for. So little micro expressions that it uses, people looking up to the right as they're saying something or, you know, a little wavering in their voice that might be normally undetectable or on its own. Detectable, but not compared with everything
else. But can you imagine the future of Karen technology? She walks into a store. She doesn't even like say anything. She walks into the store and she sees a clerk and he walks up and goes, "Can I help you?" And she goes, "Just a moment." And she pulls out her things, puts them on her face, and then looks at him and goes, "Okay, is there a better deal on this blanket than you gave me?"
And then, you think? Oh, I was thinking it was going to be a lot more than haggling. That she would use it for like, let me talk to your manager. Well, I'm the manager. Oh no, you're not. But I'm thinking that better. That technology will also be in the front of retail establishments and will automatically lock the door if they sense a Karen coming.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, see, that would also have a way of seeing her microtransactions, which are aggressive and horrible.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, I love this. This is good.
You know, can I tell you the two people in my life that I love, but I feel so sorry for right now?
Yeah.
And that's Old Man Franks and Old Lady Franks, because the names Brandon and Karen have been so besmirched in the last couple of years.
I hadn't even thought about this because I just think of them as Old Man Franks and Mrs. Old Man Franks. I never think about it. But you know what? You're absolutely right. In their regular workaday life, they have to be Brandon and Karen.
Since
2000, and now that's, I mean, hats off. We owe them something. Debt of gratitude or something. I don't know what we owe them because they're nice people. Anyway, all right. Well, there you go. We're gonna take a bit of a curve now and talk to Amy.
Yeah. Well, this we normally do here, but then the curve stops.
Yeah. Then we have a different curb, and when that curve comes, you'll know it. Because you won't be ready for it, and it'll jerk your neck like you got the rubber neck. I don't know what that means. Here's this. That jaunty music means that Amy's back with us to talk about books and what we should be reading. Amy, welcome back to the show. And we don't hear her.
Oh, well. All right. Thanks,
Amy. Well, thanks, Amy. We'll see you next week. Just kidding. She probably just needs to unmute or...
Just turning the microphone off. I want to hear her do the Chuck!
Like
Nicole used to do the Mark.
Yeah, you can tell she's probably scrambling. Hello? Hello? Are you there? Nope, still nothing.
Nope, still nothing.
Yeah, check your sources. Check your baggage. 2 weeks.
Tell you a story. Amy was the first person to order a TMS Steam Deck, which are now back in full production. And you can mention on Core tonight.
I was going to ask. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
I will do that.
The code I gave you is only for patrons, for TMS patrons. So
okay. Yeah, I'll just do it.
Anyway,
those scrubs will have to pay full price. That's how I'll handle it.
Those scrubs. But here's the thing. The mail system, United States Postal Service, seems to have lost her order, lost her package.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What? Exactly.
So it's like...
That's annoying. That's annoying.
I know. Like, I shipped yours like over a week ago. Have you not received it yet? She's like, no, it hasn't come in yet. Like,
great.
I went and looked at USPS tracking. It's like, received package from customer. And that's where it stops.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks because when you're the first one, like literally like someone on a forum going first, I hate that, but she's literally the first. And now it's late.
Yes, lame. Exactly.
Amy, you there? Can we hear you? Nope. Still don't hear Amy.
It keeps saying RTC connecting.
Oh.
If you can hear us, maybe quit.
Says
Discord. Oh, there we go. She is maybe.
Yeah. Discord is effing me. She says, it keeps saying RTC connecting. BRB. So sorry. Oh, you're fine.
Yeah.
We're easy, man. This show, you know, look, if TMS is anything, it's fluid, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's simple.
Oh, now she's chatting directly to us.
She's going
to
try the phone.
She's going to try on the phone. All right. Cool.
Yeah. We can make that work. No problem. In fact, I can even ring her from here. See if it'll ring her phone. Okay, we got the rings of ringage. I'll bet this works just fine. That's how the how this stuff pans out. All right, I see her Fraggle photo blinking. Yeah, that seems like a sign of something. Something's coming. I can feel it. Oh man, it's like a heartbeat. Boom. Oh, it's a slow heartbeat though. You want to look at that? Look at that. Need a little faster heartbeat.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Okay. Bump. Nothing. Bump. Maybe it's her eyes. Maybe she's got a local outage or something.
Hmm. I don't know.
I mean, and technically, we are reading her replies. So if this is all read, this ends up being this week. It's we're reading. Look, here's the we're reading. Discord is effing me. It keeps saying RTSC connected. BRB, so sorry. That's the end of the book, everybody. Go get it on Amazon.
Icor, you did receive yours because you ordered yours back in December, right? Like you ordered a Yeti. Icor is like, is that the same service used for me? Please tell me you've received.
Oh, I don't know. He didn't get it. Oh, Clara didn't get it. Well, Clara, you're in a weird place.
She didn't order anything.
Yeah. You didn't get the free thing you think you're owed? Oh, I see her back. Hi. Are you there, Amy?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Yeah? Yep. You sound like you're on a phone.
Yeah.
I'm on a phone because I have expletives for Discord.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Well, look, they don't call it Discord for nothing. You know, it's sometimes there's Discord. You're fine. This sounds good. We could totally do this.
Yeah,
this works.
Totally works.
Yeah, yeah.
A pinch, totally works.
Yeah.
Mic and everything.
Well, it's one of those things. We'll make it work. I don't know. You had said to me earlier there was no clip for this one from an audiobook, so you said you might be reading it. That'll be fun on a phone for you, but I don't mind. I don't mind at all.
Yeah, not on the phone either. It's fine. I'll make it work.
It's a little choppy. Are you on speaker?
I don't know why I'm doing today.
See if it'll let you do like non-speaker. It might sound better.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I'm trying to do, but now I can't. It's like not. Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay.
Ha ha ha.
There it is.
Heaps much better.
Yeah, lots better. Yes. Lots better. You were in a can there before. We'll take this. Hey, yes. look, everybody, it's Amy. We're going to talk about books. And
hi.
Yeah, hey, reading's important. Everybody should read. So
it's fundamental, I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Reading is fundamental. It is. I say that all the time, actually.
Do you
really? when somebody screws something up or they ask me a dumb question, that's like it's like I read on air light for reading. Like if there's a sign, you know, I used to work at a Longhorn and there was a big bright neon sign that said where the restrooms were, and invariably people would come up to me and ask me where it was.
Hold on, Longhorn.
And I would, of course, politely direct them to the restroom, and then under my breath, I'd be like, "Reading is fundamental."
It is fundamental. So hold on a second. Is it Longhorn?
Made me really hungry for steak.
Is that what that is? I don't think we have Longhorn here. I don't think. Hold on, Longhorn.
Is it? Oh. It's part of the Landry's group, isn't it? Longhorn. Oh no,
yeah.
Saltgrass.
It's like.
Oh no, Longhorn it's like is part one of those. Landry's?
So that's like it's. I think it's part of like this Darden restaurant group. So it's
Darden,
like
okay,
yeah. Red Lobster and Longhorn Steakhouse and all those places.
That's
yeah.
right.
What okay. am I thinking of? There's something here that we have Texas and we Texas Roadhouse.
Outback. You have Saltgrass.
No, maybe? Don't have Saltgrass. Why is Longhorn? Oh
Do
my
you have
gosh.
Like Ted's Montana Grill.
No, that sounds good though.
Oh, it's
yeah,
great.
That's
Jane Fonda's ex-husband.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's Ted Turner deal.
Turner, yeah.
Is it all in black and white or color when you go in there?
Part of the restaurant is you walk in, it's black and white, and then it turns into color as you go further back in the restaurant.
Ask your great uncles, folks, what Brian and I are talking about.
Ask that weird old guy who lives up the street.
Yeah, that's an old reference. Anyway, Amy, tell us what we're reading this week. Yes. What should we fill our heads with? Because, man, I need to right now. What do you got?
All right. So a little bit of setup for what I'm about to read you is there is an American man who is teaching English in China, and he is in his classroom speaking to his students.
All
so
right.
that is the setup to try and make the actual.
And I don't need to brace myself for a crazy accent or anything, right? You're not gonna do that.
No. Okay. No. Okay. No.
Okay. Just making sure. Just making sure. You're all good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Teacher Mark, how do you feel knowing your country dropped an atom bomb on innocent people? My face turned red with embarrassment at having the question put so personally, but I tried to remain detached. That is a good question, Teacher Zhu. I can tell you that in America, many people disagree about this. Not everyone thinks it was the right thing to do, although most people think that it saved lives. How did it save lives? Well, by ending the war quickly. Here, Teacher Zhu looked around the room at his classmates. But, Teacher Mark, it is a fact that the Japanese had already surrendered to the communist 8th Route Army of China. America put the bomb on Japan just to make the world think America was the
victor,
shouted Fatty Du. Yes, yes, the victor, shouted Teacher Zhu. I must have stood gaping for a long time, for the other students began to laugh nervously. Teacher Zhu, how do you know this is a fact? Because that is what our newspapers say. I see, but our newspapers tell a different story. How can we know which newspaper has told the truth? Here, he seemed relieved. Huh? That is easy. Our newspapers are controlled by the people, but your newspapers are owned by capitalist organizations, so of course they make things up to support themselves. Don't you think so? My mouth opened and closed a few times, but no sound came out. Fatty Du, apparently believing that the truth had been too much for me, came to my aid. It doesn't matter. Any capitalist country would do that. It is not just your country. My head swimming, I asked her if she thought only capitalist countries lied in the papers. It's not. The Russians do it too. But here in China, we have no reason to lie in the papers. When we make a mistake, we admit it. As for war, there is nothing to lie about. If you look at history, you can see that China has never attacked a nation. It has only defended its borders. We love peace. If we were the most powerful country in the world, think how peaceful the world would be. And scene. So.
Oh, cool. That's great.
You see why you didn't do voices in that one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like Mickey Rooney this up.
Oh yeah.
With like the voice version of Yellowface. Absolutely right. Not.
Yeah, and I respect that. So this feels timely for some reason. I don't know why. It just feels like this.
Yeah.
People are having weird arguments like this right now, you know.
Interesting you should say that. I picked this book and I specifically put it on my calendar for today to do this book today because this Sunday is Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. That was why I had picked this book for this time period. But yeah, and I thought it was really cool that you brought up on the show the other day, you were talking about, China and things like things of this nature. So I don't know. It's a really cool book. The name of the book is not shitoutofluck.com. It is Iron and Silk by Mark Salzman. And be careful, look for the one by Mark Salzman because there is another book called Iron and Silk by someone else. And I haven't read that one. So this recommendation is the one by Mark Salzman. It is a true account of his time living in China as a teacher. And, you know, like I said, he's there teaching English to Chinese people, but he's one of these like Renaissance people that's just kind of want to just smack him, although you wouldn't be able to because he's also a martial arts expert. Mm-hmm. And he plays the cello and like he's one of those people who's just freaking good at everything he touches. He learned to do Chinese calligraphy while he was there. He literally just went to China, I think, to absorb as much of their culture as possible and really learn where his viewpoints were, you know, very Western and that there is another way to look at things. Mm. And at that scene, I read this book about 10 years ago. It's a little bit old. So it was written in, 1986. And, there's some stuff that's dated in here. There's not, you know, you're not going to find people walking around with cell phones, things like that. But, it's a completely true story and it just kind of reads like somebody telling you anecdotes about their time spent living in China. And it's fascinating and it just gives you a really cool look at sort of the Chinese culture in a way that makes it relatable. in a way that we don't really get unless you actually know a Chinese person, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really fascinating. I always thought, I love that scene in the classroom where they're talking about the newspapers, because, you know, my thought was always like, well, you know, China doesn't have a free press, right? So we don't really know. Like, especially I thought that during COVID, I was like, we have no idea what their COVID numbers are because their government controls all their press, right? But then that always stuck with me. It's like, yeah, but corporations own all our newspapers. So
yeah, it's easy I mean, people get xenophobic for a whole lot of reasons, but right now it's easy just to go anti-China because China, and don't get me wrong, the government's up to all kinds of weird shenanigans, but I just think it's so crucial to remember that on the ground, it's just not what you think it is. It's just people, maybe different cultures, but it's just people, right? They're people like me and you, just trying to get their stuff done and take care of their families and do their thing. And everybody's got their systematic issues from the ground floor all the way up. But at the end of the day, it gets so easy for us to just package it all up and go, China bad, you know, and we don't have the nuance to break those apart and like look at it separately. And we've done this forever. You know, my grandpa couldn't even say the word Japanese without shortening it to the old JAP they were so fond of in the 40s. And he couldn't, he never trusted an Asian person his entire life. He just didn't do it because he came up at a time where they attacked us and we fought back and there was a huge war about it. And, you know, all the baggage that comes with that. And so it's really hard for people to separate just people from whatever monolithic government or corporation or whatever it is that is actually doing the things you disagree with. And I don't know. I always like being shocked out of that. I like being reminded that it's not that simple, you know?
So. Well, and the fascinating thing to me too is, you know, the things that are just cultural norms that feel rude, you know, like things that would feel rude to us are not necessarily things that are rude to people in Asian cultures, right? Like, there's a lot of that in this book. There's one scene where a master of some kind of art that he's trying to learn, you know, like I say, he learns everything and it's amazing, but offers to teach him basically for free at any time he wants. And he tries to be innocently, he's being magnanimous about it. And he says, oh no, that would be too much. I can't accept. And, you know, of course to us as Americans, we think, oh, he's just trying to be polite. You know, he's trying to not impose. Right. Well, to this master and this Chinese master, that was a huge insult. It was a giant insult that he turned him down. And so it was extremely rude that he didn't accept his offer. And, you know, and then he tried to, after he kind of figured that out, he tried to go back to him and apologize, but it was kind of like, well, it's kind of too late now, you know, like the damage is done sort of thing. And you know, it's fascinating to me. Like we have a pretty big, Korean community in our neck of the woods, and the community art center that I go to do pottery, there are entire, you know, Korean speaking classes there. So often if you go in for open studio time, there'll be like, you know, half the studio is taken up with, you know, these little Korean ladies, and they're of course making just like the most gorgeous, amazing looking things. And here I am just like fumbling around with this clay looking, you know, just making a mess and looking like a dork. Right. But you know, I'm like, and I feel, I often am just like, wow, I wish I understood what they were saying, because I bet there's some like really good, you know, nuggets of wisdom or something. They're probably just sitting there gossiping, and half the time I'm sure they're like laughing at me, but you know, like, but you know, it's just interesting. Like there's a drawing slab at the front of the art studio, and they will spread their stuff out and use the whole space, because culturally it's like, oh, well, this is here. This is a community thing. If I don't use it, that would be rude.
Yeah.
Whereas we would think, oh, I only want to take up as much space as I absolutely need to leave it for other people. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, and they, to them, they're not being rude. That's just what they're doing. It's just a cultural thing. So I find that stuff eminently fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, I really do. It's like, wow. And I think about, because I don't speak a word of any kind of Asian language. Like I can count to, you know, I can count in Japanese because I used to take martial arts a while back ago. And I used to be able to count in Chinese as well, or rather in Mandarin. Yeah, like that's it. Like I can't speak a word of anything in it. And so I would be horribly intimidated to travel to that side of the world, but also I would find it really fascinating. I think I like watching things and reading things about their culture because I'm too chicken to go visit them.
Yeah. So. Having spent some time in southern China, Hong Kong was unique in its own weird way. Having spent some time in southern China and a full day in Tokyo is all I ever got, which bummed me out. I wanted to be there longer. Being faced with all that cultural difference and also being faced with the fact that there's also a lot of similarities, was made even weirder by being 6'3" and no one else is that tall.
Oh, sure. My gosh. Wow. I bet.
Yeah. I've never felt more like a fish out of water. It's actually a real lesson for me. Cause I don't think of myself as that tall because on the average, I'm not that well. I am taller than average, but I'm not that tall. I see Brian, we're roughly the same. Mm-hmm. You know, Fletcher's like a quarter inch taller than me. So I have friends that are taller and we're all kind of in that zone. I went over there and there was half a body's worth of me sticking out of every crowd. And I remember thinking, is this what it feels like to have everybody's eyes on you because you're the minority in the room?
Yeah.
Right. You are the mm-hmm. one that looks different than everybody else. And that I've never quite gotten over that feeling.
I actually have a funny story about that. Not because I'm not tall anywhere I go. You know, I'm like 5'3", 5'4". So I, you know, I'm wee, but I spent a summer in France between my freshman and sophomore year in college. And it was like a little study abroad program. And we had this guy who was also on our tour, our program. He was from like South Georgia. He was this big, huge guy. He was like 6'5". His name was Jeremy. I'll never forget. And this was the guy we took with us when we wanted to go out.
Yeah.
Right. Because we would not get accosted or whatever if we had this guy with us. And we went to like one of the wine tasting caves there because we're like, we're 18, but it's legal for us to drink here. And so, you know, we went to the wine tasting caves and Jeremy's standing there and my friend Heather was up there and they're getting, you know, their tastes of wine or whatever. And this little old man comes up to Heather and like taps her on the shoulder and says, excuse me. And, you know, says all this in French. He says, excuse me, would you mind asking your boyfriend to sit down? He's frightening my wife. Like just his presence by being this huge hulking
tall
person was like frightening this old lady. Well, we all just thought that was hilarious.
Height is weird, man. I was at a Chinese factory in southern China in Shenzhen, the home of SARS. That's where SARS came from. It was before me. But anyway, while I was there, this lady who was doing the tour of the factory we were touring, she kept holding my arm, like kind of holding my forearm with her two little hands and going, be careful, watch your head, watch your head, watch your head. And she said that the whole thing, it doesn't matter where we were walking, she goes, oh, you're very tall American, watch your head, watch your head. And I was like, I'm watching my freaking head, my gosh. But yeah, it's a good perspective shakeup, you know, to have that kind of thing. Literally a new perspective. Yeah. So anyway, well, this is fantastic.
I know we gotta go because we're doing a short show of the day, but you guys were talking about amputating things, so I have to tell you this story.
Okay.
It is really funny. So Chuck, when he was growing up, he had a very mean grandmother. You know, some people like their grandmas are the best and, you know, like, mm-hmm. Like, some people are lucky enough to be like Van and have like the most awesome grandma in the world. But then like some people really don't like their grandmas. And that was Chuck's grandma.
Yeah.
And she had, among other things, she had diabetes. And so at one point, like, they had to amputate her leg. And Chuck was actually not, he was living out of state or whatever, you know, he was well into his adulthood by then. And so his stepmom called him just to kind of update him, be like, oh, hey, you know, just wanted to let you know, like, your grandma's in the hospital and they had to amputate her leg. And he says, oh, which part did they keep? And she goes, and the stepmom goes, oh, wow, that's really funny. Your dad said you would say that.
You want to keep it. I'm with them. I say it unironically when people have stuff removed. It's like, can we hang on to that?
Keep the leg, amputate the grandma.
Yeah,
amputate grandma. The grandma. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's awesome. To remind people of the book one more time so they know the name and...
Yes, the name of the book is Iron and Silk by Mark Salzman.
Nice. Cool. Go check it
out. Got it up on quicktms.li for your clicky needs.
Ah, there you go. Everybody live, everybody right at home. You have no excuse. You can go check it out. Amy, we'll do this again one Earth week from now.
All right, maybe my stuff will actually be working.
Maybe it will.
Yeah.
But have a
just
fantastic
yell,
week.
Chuck!
Chuck, yeah, yell Chuck. Everything will work out. All right, we've done it. And we're going to take a break. Yes, that's right. Yes. We're going to take a break and do a little bit of news after the break because we're breaking this up today a little bit. So, Brian, tell me about the middle song and who it is and what we're doing.
Absolutely. So, coming from PIAS Marketing, this one is a brand new album from the band Circa Waves. The album is called Never Going Under. Very, very cool. Look, if you're a fan of Phoenix, the band Phoenix from France, I am. They, you know, when I do a playlist that has Vampire Weekend on it, they almost always recommend a Phoenix song. And now it maybe it'll start recommending songs by Circa Waves. Here is the first single from the new album, Never Going Under. It's called Do You Want to Talk?
Talk, but I'm not thinking straight. Guess I'm gonna pay for this.
A great little item for you girl getters. A futon keeps you away from the bedroom while performing the appropriate function.
The electrocution was not my fault!
The Morning Stream. Don't order the schnitzel. They're using schnauzer.
And we've returned. Remind me who that was.
Sure. From the brand new album, Never Going Under, that was Circle Waves and the song, Do You Want to Talk? Do You Want to Talk? Do You Want to Talk? But you just have to, just once. Do You Want to Talk?
Just one. All right.
I was just singing along to it because we just heard it and it's still stuck in my head. It'll be stuck in my head forever.
Yeah, that's the goal. All right. Well done. Now this. It's the news and it's brought to you by.
How about a bunch more songs stuck in your head? That's right. Come to Coverville today at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at twitch.tv/Coverville for an episode celebrating Donald Fagen's 75th birthday. Donald Fagen, half of the team, well, they had a band behind them, but he and Walter Becker formed the band Steely Dan, which at one time had Chevy Chase as a member.
Whoa, hold on. No, don't bury that lead. Is that true?
That's 100% true. When they were in Annandale, the college in Annandale, they were performing as with Chevy Chase playing drums.
I had no idea. That is seriously feels like something I should have known and I didn't. That's crazy.
Yeah, and all right. Probably was just as likable then as he seems to be now. Mm. The stories you hear. Yeah. Anyway, covers of all of your favorites. Hey 19, My Old School, Do It Again, Peg, Josie, those two wonderful ladies, all that and much, much more coming up today. Twitch.tv/Coverville, an episode that Tina will not listen to.
Oh, not a Steely Dan fan? Not a.
Like she is. I've run into a lot of people in life that really don't like Steely Dan. And
I mean, I only want it in chunks, but I like an occasional dip.
Yeah,
back.
I found an album. First off, I found a cover of Babylon Sisters. Was it Babylon Sisters? Hold on, I gotta look this up because this, speaking of mind blowing.
Oh my gosh.
A cover of the song. Come on, show me here. Oh, geez. It's gonna take forever to load. Here we go. It is. Oh, it's because it was loading the search. A cover of Deacon Blues. They call me Deacon Blues.
Oh, you know? I like that song.
They got a name for the winners in the world. Anyway, mm-hmm. Covered by Luke Duke himself, Tom Wopat.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew he sang, but I didn't know that.
Covered Steely Dan.
Wow.
Anyway, so I found an album called Steely Dance.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, this is just going to be horrendous, like dance versions of Steely Dan songs. No, it is really, it's way, way better than it sounds. It's like, this is stupid good.
Yeah. It's weird how that turns out sometimes. Sometimes people with their lesser careers impress us, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Good job,
totally,
Luke Duke. Yeah. It's Bo Duke who's trouble now.
He didn't do the album Steely Dance. That's a band called Steely Dance, and they just do dance covers of Steely Dan. That's what I'm saying is stupid good. Oh. The Tom Wopat thing is good.
It's okay.
It's not the version of Deacon Blues that I'm going to play in the show. I found a much better version that I'm going to play in the show.
Nice. Check it out. 1 p.m. today, everybody. Yeah. Music. Get some music on today, you know? Don't have your whole day just filled with whatever nonsense.
Music. And that of course depends time-wise. It should start right at 1. I don't think I'm going to be at the doctor's office for 2 hours, but
no. Unless they make you wait. Start at 1. You start screaming, "My wallet's gone! My wallet's gone!"
It's a callback to a previous story.
Just saw that last night. Let's see here. Here's a story to kick us off. An entire grocery store has nothing but plastic products. It kind of reminded me of that Area 52 thing. Or Area 51.
Oh, yeah, the Area 15. The Meow Wolf.
15. Why do I keep saying 52 and then 51?
I don't know.
Area 51's in World of Warcraft. Area 52 is it's the other way around.
The other way around. Area 52 is in World of Warcraft. Area 51 is supposedly where the spaceships are being held.
My wife brought me a beverage. Thanks, son.
Ooh, nice.
You're awesome.
Area 15 and Omega Mart specifically.
Yes.
The part of Meow Wolf.
And which was awesome. You did not oversell that. That ended up being as cool as you said it was. That was awesome.
And the one in Denver, like when people ask me, oh, is there anything in Denver I should check out? One of the first things I say now is the Meow Wolf here in Denver because it's awesome as well.
Is it a permanent installation as well there?
It is.
Oh, nice. I thought it was a traveling thing, but maybe there's a version that travels? No?
Nope.
That's too bad. I was hoping it would end up here.
Yeah, they might still. I mean, surprisingly, they're building 2 in Texas right now.
Oh, my gosh. Everything's bigger in Texas, including
Everything's
Meow
bigger
Wolf.
In Texas, and so maybe eventually they'll put one in Salt Lake.
I hope so. So check this out. This is an entire grocery store that has thousands of fake food items made entirely from discarded plastic bags. So this is all recycled plastic, which is the entire idea. It's not like here's a bunch of new stuff and new plastic.
That's what things like, oh, it's like plasticware and plastic floor mats and things like that.
No, not even. It's like non-edible stuff that's just looks like products like meat and eggs and cakes,
a plastic
and
watermelon or whatever.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, as a kid, there's a part of me and part of my life where this would have been the ultimate destination. Sure. I loved fake food for a long time as a kid. I was really into it.
This so looks like Omega Mart. Holy cow.
I know.
This
I
might
feel,
as well just be Omega Mart.
I feel like all it's missing is like the weird cavernous, like, oh, this freezer goes somewhere else or whatever. Right. But right. Beyond that, very
the cereal
similar.
Called Doesn't Contain Spiders or something like that.
Yeah. Yes. But like, look at this lady. Those are plastic
this
flowers.
Garlic.
I know, right?
The garlic looks amazing. And it's like, all it is just wadded up grocery bags, but it just looks like garlic.
I really look, even their Gatorade are just wadded up grocery bags and Gatorade bottles. I don't know if they're fake names. Are they all fake names? Or are they
looks,
real?
Yeah, because it's Bagerade. Bagerade.
Bagerade, you're right. So it's very in that vibe of that art installation.
Yes.
I just think, like, I mean, even now, this is interesting to me. But as a kid, I'd have lost my mind.
And this view that we're seeing with a cake table in front and then, you know, two shelves and then the produce, I'm because of the work that went into this, I'm guessing that is, you're seeing all of it.
This
right
might
there
be
in
it.
That shot.
Yeah, this might be it. Plus, would you really, I mean, you're not going to rent like an Albertson size place.
No, and fill it with This is, This took a lot of work to put together, so that the fact that they did that much is very impressive.
Yeah, I kind of love it. All right, so there's that. Hey, check this out. A traveler's emotional support snake got found by a TSA x-ray in the Florida airport, and it just looks like somebody wadded up a big poo in their bag. Let me show you this picture. It would freak me out if I was one of those people. And also, I have a complaint, which I'll get to in a second, about TSA. I know there's a lot to say about TSA, but I have a very specific complaint. But there it is. Look at that snake in there just hanging out.
Oh, there it is right there on the bottom right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's hard to say because these shoes look weird, right?
Yeah. It looks like they've got three belts in there.
Yeah.
Because you see all those like buckles and then kind of a faint line connecting them.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then maybe a laptop on the left.
Yeah, I think that's a laptop or it could be a tablet.
Yeah,
it's a laptop. I think. Oh, it definitely is because that's a trackpad in the middle and two speakers on the side.
Oh, yep, sure is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
But there's definitely a buckle on the bottom right, and then there's a different looking belt on the left side. So it's like maybe even a third belt with triangles on it. Like they're trying to say, I'll just put a bunch of belts in the bag, and they'll think the snake is one of them belts.
Yeah, they ain't gonna have a problem with that. That'll be fine. Yeah. Just don't move, Cletus. Don't move the entire flight, Cletus.
And isn't the point of an emotional support animal the fact that it's with you and not shoved in checked baggage?
No, that's a good point. Or even in your overhead bin. That's
or
weird.
Carry on. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Up there getting banged around. Poor snake. I don't think this is good for the snake. But anyway, the TSA says Bartholomew, this dude, or no, the snake, sorry, the boa constrictor, that's the name of the snake, was hanging out in a traveler's carry-on bag on in the airport last month and was spotted by a TSA security x-ray. The traveler told the officials that Bartholomew was her emotional support snake. The airline, however, declined letting the snake on board. In 2020, the TSA ruled airlines could treat emotional support animals as regular pets, not service pets, which meant their presence on a plane would be subject to the same rules and fees as regular pets. I didn't know that changed, but it did.
Yeah.
Last year, a number of pets have been spotted by TSA x-ray machines, including a dog and a cat. Well, duh. Oh, wait, in the bag? Don't put your dog or cat in the bag.
No. Oh, my God. It's worse. I mean, at least a snake, you know, it doesn't need a whole lot of room to stretch its legs. No room needed to stretch its legs.
Right. But plus, their air needs are different.
A cat getting all cramped in one of those things for a 2-3 hour flight? Hell no.
My dog would panic and poo. That's what that would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then TSA's got a whole other problem to deal with.
Owner deserves to have a bag full of poo if they do that.
Bastards. I was going to say one more thing about this and I forgot what it was. Oh, did I tell you that totally by accident? This has happened twice now, but when I went on my trip to the cruise, I totally forgot to mention this. I didn't know that my carry-on bag, which I'd used a couple of weeks prior to do some stuff up in the canyon, had a retractable blade in it, like a knife.
Oh, no, like a carpet knife kind of thing?
Yeah, and it was more like a full-on, like, lock blade, like a pull it out. And I had it in there just for having it and forgot to take it out. I would always take it out before I fly. Of course, someone's going to catch it.
Yeah.
Nobody caught it on both directions.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
TSA, what are you doing?
When did you discover it? Like after you got back or?
No, when I got to the ship. I got to the ship and went, oh, my gosh, it's here. But then I thought, well, if I got out of here or if I got here, maybe I can get back with it. And what's the worst case? They'll confiscate it.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to kill me to do that. So I did that. And sure enough, they just let it go.
I would probably just say, hey, can I get a padded envelope and a stamp? I'll just mail it back to myself when we get back.
You know what? That's what I should have done. They even had a mail service on the boat. I could have done that.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it at all. I just felt like a criminal, though. I was like, what did I get away with by accident?
Totally. Yeah. Jeez. Crazy.
Yeah. Don't worry, TSA. I didn't use it at all. It just sat in my bag.
I used it to cut pizza.
Here was my complaint, TSA complaint. So. It's not fun doing that no matter what. The shoe thing is overwrought. Like, we should stop doing that stupid shoe thing. Yeah, it's just like so many dumb things about it. Here's my biggest thing, though. Let's say you've got like a 5 a.m. flight. You're already stressed. You're probably already running a little late. At the very least, you're tired. This is all a hassle. There's a huge line. It's kind of nightmarish. Maybe you don't even like flying. So this is like, ugh, I just don't need any extra stress. Here's what's stressful. Take all your shoes off and put them in the thing. Make sure your clothes are all prepared. Don't have any belts on. Hurry up, people. That kind of like that thing they do. Why is that allowed? Can't they say? I don't know what they should say. Just don't yell it.
The issue you have is the way it's almost like a. Like a dictator standing on top of a soapbox going, "Hi, does he can find a shoe in the
idiot?" Yeah, like that exactly. It's
saying,
like I'm...
You're saying if they just said, "Hey, please make sure your shoes are off, da-da-da." Yeah. I think it's because there are too many people who get all the way up to the conveyor belt and haven't prepared anything, and they just hold up the entire line because that's when they decide they're going to start moving their phone to their carry-on bag and all that stuff.
I think you're right. I think that's...
Yeah.
I mean, they probably have to. Like, I don't know enough about the job to say... But I do know this. If you're going to go that hard, you know how machine learning can take a dead person's voice and make it seem like it's new again?
Yeah.
Get Lee Ermey and just broadcast him going, listen, maggots, freaking, and then we'll all do it.
I didn't realize they stack shit that high.
Yep, exactly. Stack your shoes in your box like shit is high, he'll say. I don't know.
And, the people I'm telling this to already do it, I'm sure. But, if you travel more than two or three times a year, just pay the $80, 5 years, TSA pre-check, leave your shoes on, keep your belt on, all that stuff.
They'll give you eight. I didn't know they gave you 5 years. That's pretty good.
5 years for $80. 100% worth it.
Like, I fly enough to make that worth it.
The greatest flying deal. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I should do that. I don't know why I don't. I should just do
so
that.
So you sit there as a TSA pre-check guy and just kind of look at the people all taking their shoes off and their belt and all that stuff. And it's like, I'll put my hands up. Okay, sure. Walk through. Sure. Good.
I'm a little surprised it's not more,
Don't give them ideas, Scott.
I know. I don't want to either.
Don't tell them they get charged. I think $80 is just about right. Maybe a little too high.
But a little too high.
I'll still pay if it's $80.
Bastards. All right, we are going to call the news there. Hey, good news, everybody. If you're like starving for content, we mentioned Coverville today at 1. Core at 5 p.m. tonight. Ooh, Core.
Yeah, woo.
We're planning on some coverage of that Microsoft Bethesda event next week and a couple other little things. So there's a lot going on with Core. You guys should check that out tonight, 5 p.m. live. And then FilmSack this weekend, we're watching Daredevil, the 2003. Do I have the year right? I think I do.
You know better than I do. I do.
I'm just test my skill here with my years because I'm usually pretty good at this. Let's see. Daredevil.
You're usually spot on.
2003. Woo!
There you go. Nicely done.
Not bad. Anyway, that's the movie and we're covering that and I'm excited about that because that movie sucks and man, it's not as bad as everyone remembers. It's okay.
Not as bad as a few of those X-Men movies that came out in the later part of that deal. And
Could be worse. Could be a lot worse. It's okay.
Could be a lot worse.
Yeah, it could be. It could be Elektra bad.
Because Elektra's really bad. Exactly. Yes.
Horrible bad. Anyway, Daredevil. That's this weekend on FilmSack. FilmSack.com for details. In the meantime, please support us over here on our Patreon. Please, patreon.com/TMS. Try our product. That's patreon.com/TMS, where you, the fine listener, can avoid commercials, get pre-show content every day, including today, couch parties on the weekend, and more. Speaking of which, we're going to do Ant-Man and the Wasp this weekend.
Yes, preparation for Quantumania.
Indeed. I should have all of your weird timeline ones covered because I've got, I watched the Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
This one, saw Loki.
Okay.
I think those are all your lead-ups, right?
Yeah, maybe it wouldn't hurt to watch Captain Marvel the following couch party.
Oh, we could do that. That'd be fun. I still haven't watched that, so that'd be good.
I don't know. I mean, obviously she'll be more important for Marvels than for the next Avengers movie and the Kang Dynasty and all that stuff.
Oh, Kang is so cool.
Kang is cool.
Man, that guy who's playing Kang, what's his name?
Jonathan Majors.
Jonathan Majors?
Yeah. Majors.
What a stud.
No kidding, right?
I look at like him and that, I go, you know, if I had to be gay, I could do it for that guy. I could make it happen.
I think so too.
Thanks, Kim. Oh, look at this. Yeah. I just got some bacon and some avocado toast
with tomatoes on it.
Yeah, look at she's that. Trying to make me eat better. So,
yeah, people, if you saw Lovecraft Country, that was for me the breakout Jonathan Majors thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
He was in a few things before that, but that was like, oh yeah, and The Harder They Fall. I still need to watch that.
No, that's so good, dude. Oh.
He's got his moment coming because obviously the Kang stuff, which we're going to see him in Quantumania, the next two Avengers films and the Multiverse Saga, but also he's the big bad in Creed 3 coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's in something else this year called Magazine Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it going on, Jonathan.
He's in
Majors.
The Five Bloods, which I meant to watch and haven't yet.
Oh, right. The Five Bloods.
Yeah. And he's in, what's that other one I always wanted to see? Oh, The Last Black Man in San Francisco is supposed to be good. 2019. Mm-hmm. Plays Montgomery.
Montgomery.
Anyway, there you go. There's our love for that guy. Let's move out of here and have a song. Why don't you play one for me? What do you got there?
I will play one. This one is a request. This one is going out to Jessica S. She says, hi, Scott and Brian. I've grown up listening to all the great guitarists. My mom raised me in the, quote, school of rock. My favorite of all time is Jeff Beck. My mom and I have had many great moments listening to his music, and she has been able to see him numerous times. With his sudden passing, my mom and I are heartbroken. Could you please play his cover of Somewhere Over the Rainbow or any of his covers? Love the show, guys. Keep on rocking. Signed, Jessica S.
It was sudden, wasn't it?
It was sudden, yeah. But what a legend. And if you ever go back to his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, when the Yardbirds got inducted into the Hall of Fame, he was a member of the Yardbirds for a short time. He got up there and got to the microphone and said, yeah, people told me that I should be proud today. And I say, why? Those guys kicked me out of the band. So F them. And then he walks off the stage.
Oh, man. Say what you want to say, I guess. Wow.
So I played Somewhere Over the Rainbow as part of the last week's Coverville, which was a Jeff Beck tribute. So if you love Jeff Beck, please go back and listen to that episode as well. So I decided I'd play something that also gives me a chance to drop a little more musical trivia on you. Stevie Wonder wrote the song Superstition with the intent. He wrote it for Jeff Beck.
Mm.
And intended for his version to be released, and then Stevie was going to do a cover of it. They both recorded their versions. Stevie Wonder's label said, oh, this is great. We're going to make this the lead song on his next album and put it out on his next album before Jeff Beck's version come out. So this was a case where the intended cover became the original, and the original became the cover.
Mm.
So I'm going to play for you what was going to be the original version of Superstition. This is by Beck, Boger, and Appice from 1973. Here is Superstition.
We'll see you guys on Monday. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I have a good excuse. I'm part gay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.